Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stenny Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege that our Lord allows us to open God's precious Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning again in our Bible to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And we're looking at verse number 14, where God said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," God said, "then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." We're looking at this verse of scripture on the subject, God's recipe for revival. And I want you to notice three thoughts in our study. First of all, we're now looking at the people of revival. God said, "If my people, which are called by my name." When we finish that portion of our study, we will look at the plan of revival. God said, "Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." And then when we finish that, we will look at the promise of revival. God said, "I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." And friend, I want to say to you, though I use this as the recipe for revival, this ought to be the normal life of every child of God. God's people, they're called by God's name, should be constantly humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways. And if we would do that, then God would be continually hearing from heaven, forgiving our sins, and healing our land. But let's go back, please, to the first part of the verse, and let's look at the people of revival. Let me say once again that it's not the lost world who hinders us from having revival. It's not the drinking crowd. It's not the murderers and the thieves. No, they do not need revival. They need resurrection. They need to be saved by the grace of God. God deals with his people. Let me repeat another statement that I've made. Revival will not come through an act of Congress or through civic clubs or community organizations. Revival must come through God's church, his people. And then I pointed out to you on yesterday that we run into a problem because everybody claims to be the people of God. One of the hardest things you'll do is to try to find somebody who will just openly admit that they're a sinner and they're on the road to hell. Everybody's got their religion. They've got their church. They've got their preacher. They've been baptized, or they believe that somehow they will make it into the city of God. It's hard to find sinners. But I believe the Bible would give us understanding on how we can determine who God's people are. I mentioned to you, first of all, that God's people are a purchased people. We have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And the word redeem means to purchase by paying the price. I would ask you, first of all, today, have you been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you are saved, you've been bought. And if you've not been bought, then you are not saved. And then I follow that logic on. If you've been bought, then you're not your own. No, you belong to the Lord. That's not when you die. That's every day of your life. And that's every action and every attitude ought to be under his lordship. The Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 19 and verse number 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? Notice these words now. And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we see from the Word of God that God's people are a purchased people. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is no longer my body. It's his body. It is no longer my life to live it as I choose to do so. My life belongs to him. I am the prized, purchased possession of the Lord of glory. I have been bought and paid for in full. God's people are a purchased people. Notice these verses of scripture. The Bible said in the book of Romans chapter number 3, verses 24 and 25, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Again, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, the Bible said in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14, the Bible said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The Bible said again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 11 and verse number 12. The Bible said, but Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, that is to say, not of this building, listen now, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And again, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And there are other passages of scripture that I could use, but I've given you enough for you to understand that God's people are a redeemed people. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary, and we are not our own. We do not belong to ourselves, and we're to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are his. Before I continue, let me ask you the question. How did you score on that thought of being one of God's people? Have you been purchased? Do you still belong to yourself? Can you still live your life the way you want to do it? Can you still involve yourself in sin? In God not chasing you? My friend, I want to say it again. This Bible teaches that when you're saved by the grace of God, you become the purchased possession of the Lord of glory. And may I just add, you'll either live right and do right, or God will chasten you and bring judgment into your life. So I say to you, God's people are a purchased people. Then may I say, God's people are a purged people. Now, I want you to hear this, preacher, in this statement I'm about to make. There is no such thing as God saving a sinner and leaving them to live in their sins. Absolutely no scripture whatsoever for you to base your salvation and hope of heaven upon. If you continue to live in the lifestyle of sin that sinners live in. No, my friend. When God saves a sinner, he cleanses them from their sins. Notice in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1, verse number 18. God said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The Bible said again in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 1, verse number 5. He said unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, not only does God wash our sins from us, but God washes us from our sin. I mean, God will not just take the sin out of your life. God will take your life out of the sinning business when you're saved by the grace of God. God never saves a drunk and leaves him a drunkard. God never saves a harlot and leaves her a harlot. The same is true for a fornicator, an adulterer, a thief, a murderer, whatever kind of sinner you may classify yourself to be. When God saves you, he'll take you out of the mire, put you in the choir, take you out of the hell holes of this world, put you in the house of worship, and he'll change you, my friend, from a drunk to a decent daddy, from a harlot to a housewife, from a pervert to a convert. I'm saying God will make a difference. When you are put in Christ at the moment of salvation, you will become a new creature, and old things will pass away. Well, do you pass the test? Do you qualify to be identified as one of God's people? Are you purchased? Are you purged? We'll continue tomorrow, the Lord willing. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. This is Brother Blue speaking. As you look at the calendar, you see we're approaching Thanksgiving, and that means camp meeting time once again here at the Faith Baptist Camp. Let me invite you to make plans to join with us. We begin on Sunday evening on the 23rd of November, and we'll go through Friday night, the 28th. We're located at Resaca, Georgia. That's about 45 miles south of Chattanooga and about 70 miles north of Atlanta, just off Interstate 75. Pastor Sammy Allen, the folk of the Concord Baptist Church, invite you to join us for a great week. And then remember, I need to hear from you. Take the time out today, write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promise Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you. Until the next broadcast.